There are thousands. It's not a godless nation. There are thousands. There are hundreds and thousands. And there are over 300 million gods that are worshipped in India. And they all have their forms of idols that have been formed. In fact, the Hindu gods, the primary gods, are gods of war and gods of appeasement and gods of judgment and gods of conflict with each other. They've all had those traditions that they share. But there is no God I couldn't find a God of comfort. No gods of comfort. In all of my looking, I love this portion of Scripture. I love this portion of Scripture. Psalm 23, verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, what does it say? They say comfort. No comfort in all the idols and the people. There's no God like our God. In Isaiah chapter 61, you know the portion of Scripture. And Jesus quoted it when he said, "And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to do what? To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the good day of God's vengeance unto our God, and to comfort all who mourn." To comfort. No comforting God in all of India. No God like our God. No God like our God. No God like Jesus, who God sent. No God. No God. And so we go to proclaim the life of Jesus, the God of all comfort, the image of God. Now let me share with you two scriptures, and I hope you have your Bibles, at least you can follow and maybe write them down. The first portion of Scripture this morning comes out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Scripture says these words, and let me read it to you from verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. About 4 weeks ago, man, it was like like words coming into my mind. There they'd come, and it really was like a bird feeder. You understand birds, they fly in, and they nibble a little bit, and then they take off. And so these words came in, my God of all comfort. And then it went off again. God of all comfort, come in. And then it comes in. And that's what was happening as I was thinking. I thought, I got to go find that. I got to read that. And here I found it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. God of all comfort, and it says, who comforts us in all our affliction. 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 I thought, hold it, just a minute. God of all comfort, and then comforts in all afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And I read on, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. Abundance. And I'm thinking, the God of all comfort and the God of all discomfort. What, that in the same verses? For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. For we were afflicted, if we were afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And the scriptures go on and share some other thoughts. And I'm looking at that portion of scriptures, and it says, the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. And why am I so surprised at the struggles when the gold of heaven has come to the dirt of earth? And I live in the dirt. And I experience the gold of heaven because of Christ living within me. Afflictions in abundance. So the question that I ask is, well, why all the afflictions? Yeah, like why all the afflictions? If anybody had any afflictions, well, just a few of you, I see. I have a whole lot of those, but anyway. So why would the God of all comfort permit, allow, and even lead us into discomfort? Discomfort in abundance, as verse 8 says. So, and here's the answer. Verse 8 says, and so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8. So the discomforts of your life and the comfort God gives, the discomforts of your life are designed by God so that you would not trust in yourself, but in God who is the God of all comfort. Now, as I began thinking about this, I'm thinking, this is a missionary writing. This is a missionary writing. This is Paul who is writing to the Corinthians. This is a missionary in India. The discomfort of abundance is a missionary in India. This is a missionary in Bozeman, on Main Street, on Fifth Avenue. This is a missionary at MSU, comfort and discomfort. And if you'll read on in verse number 11, you'll notice, oh, this is a tremendous verse. You should read on 2 Corinthians verse now, chapter 1, verse number 11, because he gives abundant thanks for prayers that are made in Paul's behalf, prayers. And Judy and I would want to say, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the prayers. This last time that we got back, we've been back a while now, a number of weeks, but when we got back, we were beat up in spirit and soul and body. My wife experiences that even in a greater way than I do. But spiritually, man, I was just like I had. You know what? If you go use a knife and you're cutting and cleaning, whatever you're doing with a knife, pretty soon it gets dull. So that's what we were doing. We were just using our knife, attempting to sharpen it, but after a while it gets pretty dull. I came back dull. That's the way it was. And the emotional, the things that happen with traveling and then caring for and sharing and coaching the missionary teams and their things. And there's an emotional dullness. So we came back just pretty like, come on. Our physical bodies were really well worn out. But now the Lord encourages us and restores us through your prayers and through our rest, through our time with the Lord. He encourages us. When you face the afflictions of God, you have to have comfort by others that God gives. God gives us afflictions. Now let me take you to one other portion of Scripture in Romans. Now Romans 8 is like, whoa, yay, Romans 8. Anybody like Romans 8? Man, I love Romans 8. And so when I was looking at what God was saying, I turned over to Romans 8, and I read these words, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on right down through the God of all comfort. When you come to verse number 18, which is really a fascinating verse, You come and it says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Not worthy to be compared. Not worthy to be compared. The what? The sufferings? The sufferings. The sufferings. So walk with me through Romans just a little bit. Romans 8. Romans 8, it begins through verse 1 through 17. Paul talks about the battle of the flesh. In verse number 14, it says this: "Don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." In verse number 6, it says, "The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." Verse 7 says, "The mind set on the flesh is hostile to God." Verse 10 says, "If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive." Verse 13 says, "If by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Verse 17 says, "If we suffer with him, we will also be glorified." You know, when you start reading that stuff, you see suffering and death and suffering and death, suffering and death and suffering and death. It's wonderful. This chapter 8 is great. Isn't this a great chapter? Isn't this a tremendous chapter? Why didn't you see this before? Oh, we do have a tendency to pick out the portions we really like, don't we, huh? So when you walk through that, you come to verse number 22. And here's Romans 8, 22. The first portion that I read is the sufferings of this present time, because that's what Paul says in verse 1. Sufferings of this present time. Well, that's your flesh sufferings. That's the battle. That's the dying to your old ways. That's that suffering. But verse number 22 goes on and says that the creation, all of creation, look at this. "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now." I was affected, I don't know if you were, but I was affected by the campfire in California. Do you realize that fire in Northern California claimed nearly three times as many lives and structures than any other wildfire in the state's history? Let me read what I read. I found this. There's a quote that I picked up. "The campfire," that's the name of the fire, "the campfire grew rapidly near midday on November 8th, consuming 10,000 acres in about 90 minutes. That burning is equivalent to more than one football field every second during that time." Every second during that time. "It destroyed more structures than the next seven fires combined. It killed more lives than the next seven fires combined in all of California's history." There were 85 people. Some just, I mean, that you can't outrun that kind of fire. A football field every second. And the scripture is saying that there is a suffering that all creation has. Do you know the fires and the earthquakes and the pestilence are all part of the groaning of the earth that wants to get away from the judgment of God for mankind's sin? And when you look at this place, how beautiful it is, you must realize that it's not anything to compare with the original creation of God. Yeah. Nothing to compare with it. But creation is groaning. So there are the sufferings that come from life, that we are talking about. And then there's the sufferings that come from all creation, and creation groans. And then I read in verse number 23, the scripture says this. This is Romans 8. This is a great portion. But not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, having Christ within us, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Anybody have any pains and aches in your body? Mine? Anybody limping a little bit? I saw Bruce Bob walking a little slower. He didn't run. How many bodies seem to be falling apart? Well, the Bible says that. Our whole body groans. Some of you do that every morning when you get up. In fact, some of you groaned when you stood up for worship this morning. And then there's the groaning of the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8. Isn't this an? There are three groanings in Romans 8. Did you ever notice that? Three groanings. And Romans 8 talks about this in the same way. The Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes with us with groanings. Too deep for words. Now, we've interpreted that many of ways. But have you ever asked yourself and said, why is the Spirit groaning? Why does the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, groan? Well, let me walk back and just wrap up some thoughts. So the question that Paul is asking in chapter 8, verse 31 is this. If you're following through, 8:31 says this. What shall we say to these things? So he say, what things? Well, those are the four things, the groanings plus the afflictions of life in the flesh. What are we going to say to these things? What are we going to say? In Romans 8, verse number 29, the scripture gives part of the answer. For the Bible says there that God has predestined us to become conformed, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Christmas is about heaven coming down to earth, so that heavenly being, Jesus Christ, becoming as man, could work His work by the Spirit in us so that we could be conformed to the image that He, Jesus Christ, brought down and took back with Him. That's what's happening. He predestined. He didn't predestine you to be saved or not saved. That's your choice. He actually wants all men to be saved, all Indians to be saved. But He did predestine you who said yes to be conformed to His image. That is what He has predestined you to be. And the word conform is a compound word. Con is a prefix that says together. But the form word in the Greek is morphe. And that word, that Greek word, morphe, has the idea of adjustment of parts. When you go and visit the chiropractor, Dr. Rogers, or whoever you do, he just goes, and you go, yeah, like that. Or he puts his thumb in my back, he does this. And I'm going, and he says, does that hurt? I mean, it's like, did you go to school or not? You know, does he do that to you? Does that hurt? I say, yes, it hurts. I say, oh, okay. And he doesn't change. He does the same thing, just, and God adjusts us so that we are conformed. He puts His hands on us and pushes us, and we go, yeah, 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 and we're groaning. What's God doing? He's conforming us, adjusting us. And when we say, God, that's too much, He says, oh, I know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. These things are not worthy to be compared. Not worthy to be compared to what God is attempting to do within our lives. Do you know when God created the earth, how did he make life? How did he make stars? How did he make animals? How did he used his voice, spoke. How did he make man? He used his hands and squeezed. In fact, if you do the study on the word form, it means squeeze. It means pressure. When God made mankind, he put pressure on it. When God made trees and animals, he spoke, and it came into being. Now think on that one. And isn't that the same way that God works in our lives today? Yes, he speaks the word over us. But if you've known God and walked with him some, you found that he put his hands on you and adjusted morphe so you could be conformed to his image. Can I say it again? Merry Christmas. Yes? Oh, yes! Merry Christmas. So I desire in my life, whatever years God gives me, that he will continue to put his hands on me. He will continue to form me into the image of his son. That is the purpose. And that's what Romans 8 will tell you as you read through the rest of it. He put his hands on you to conform you into the image of his son. Now, can I have the worship team just come and let me just wrap up? So what do we say for these things? Verse 31 of Romans 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Remember that. What do we say to these things? Verse 34 says, God who justified us and Jesus is praying for us. Do you know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit is praying for us? Do you know why the Holy Spirit is groaning? Do you know why that happens? He's groaning that you and I would become conformed. He said, oh God, let Del Getty be conformed to the image. That's the groaning. Why is Jesus interceding for us? Read the book. Why does he intercede? He intercedes not because you will feel better or to have you get what you gotta have. He intercedes for you so that you would be conformed to his image. That's what he's. What is the will of God for my life? The will of God is for my life is not to go to India or to have that job or to get a car or whatever. The will of God for my life is to be conformed, to pressed into the image of Christ so that people in India and missionaries in India or people in Bozeman, missionaries or people at MSU who are missionaries, all of you would become conformed to the image of his son. So Paul asks the question, so what do we say to these things? What are we going to say to these things? And that's the question that I ask to you. To your groanings, to the Spirit's groanings, to the Spirit, the Christ's groanings, to the afflictions, to the wrestling with your flesh, what are you going to say? Well, I would invite you to join with me to say, Your will be done. Form me, Lord Jesus. Your kingdom come. Form me, Lord Jesus. I say yes to your hands, even as I listen to your voice. I say yes to your hands, even as I listen to your voice. Would you just close your eyes? I say yes to your hands, even as I listen to your voice. Now let me take you a step as your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I would give you an opportunity as a follower of Jesus or someone who is searching just to respond in your own prayer way. And I would invite you to do that in this way. Yes to your hands, Lord, as I listen to your voice. And whatever the Lord's Spirit is speaking into your heart, as He's speaking it, would you just stand as a statement of your yes to your hands and listening to your voice. And then be seated after you have expressed that with your standing. I say yes, Lord. Say yes, Lord, to your work, your conforming. Say yes to the God of all comfort and the God of discomfort to be formed into the image of Christ. Yeah, just you stand and then just be seated as the Spirit of God has been speaking and you're ready to do that. You stand as long as you want. Sit as quickly as you want. I like to do it with my hands outstretched to the Lord. Yes, Lord. I say yes again to your hands, Lord, as I listen to your voice. Now, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus.